but you can't face the constant traffic jams, the snarl, the headaches, the heat, and your air conditioning system in the car needs to be regassed. Do you consider public transport? Well, the argument has always been that while there's no real proof that if the state government makes the cost of public transport cheaper, that more people will use it. Well, that argument now appears to be over, because in just a moment from my next guest, you'll hear that the state government and Translink can claim a win. More people are using public transport here in southeast Queensland. And my next guest will tell you that there is a very clear and quite straightforward reason as to why it happened. 1300 222 612 is the phone number. If you've started using public transport again, tell me why. What was it that got you onto public transport? The latest figures revealed over the weekend reveal that more people have been using public transport. I'd like to know what the reason is. Is it traffic snarls? Is it cost of your own private transport? Or is it something else? Maybe it's concern about the environment. Whatever the reason, give me a call. Because apparently, to use public transport, I mean, you know what it's like. If you're driving around at the moment, you've just finished the school drop-up, you've battled the traffic, or you're heading out of your workplace and you're heading on home, you know that you face a significant delay due to the amount of road congestion here in southeast Queensland. You may recall that Scott Morrison, Prime Minister, last year made the comment, "Our cities are full." Now, that was in the context of immigration. But either way, Translink, the state government, and I guess the Brisbane City Council for that matter, because they're a party to Translink, can claim a win. More people have been using public transport here in Brisbane. My question for you is, what led you to do it? What led you to leave the car behind and hop on a train or a bus or a ferry, for that matter, to move out and about? 1300 222 612 is the phone number. Give me a call now. 1300 222 612.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane with Steve Austin.
29 degrees in Brisbane, Bayside suburbs as well, 29 degrees. Logan City, 30 degrees. Ipswich, 33 degrees. The Gold Coast, 28, and the Sunshine Coast, 27 degrees. You may recall on Friday, if you were listening to this program, I told you about an escalator in Brisbane, which had been out of order for a few weeks. It's funny how those little things, those little fundamental things, when they don't work, really get you goat. The escalator I was talking about was located in the King Street Mall Square bus station, heading up to Adelaide Street. Their parts are on their way. They're trying to work to fix it. But it turns out there's broken escalators constantly at Toowong Shopping Centre, and apparently the new Cooperoo Square development on Old Cleveland Road. Maybe you've got... I didn't realise it was such a thing. Who would have thought that escalators press people's buttons so much? If you've got a broken-down escalator that continually breaks down in your area, give me a call. 1300 222 612 is the phone number. Or send a text 0467 922 612. We'll make the phone call. We'll call the responsible agency and find out when it's to be repaired. It's funny how these little things in a modern city really annoy people and they sort of get you going up, isn't it? So 1300 222 612 is the phone number. Or send a text 0467 922 612. And as I speak, the Grammys are happening in the United States. And we'll keep a track of that and some of the winners. And if I can squeeze it in, I'm going to try and play you some of the music and some of the speeches from the Grammys, which is probably one of the bigger music award events around the world today. All due respect to Eurovision, I don't think we should have any part of it, quite frankly. Let the Europeans do their own culture. But anyhow, congratulations to Kate Miller-Hodgkin. Congratulations, all the best. But the Grammys have happened. Now, they're not Australian either, but they are big global artists. So, time permitting, I'll bring you the story about that as well this afternoon. 4:10. So, my question was, when was the last time you used public transport? Last year, there were nearly 50 million trips taken in southeast Queensland, representing 6.5% growth on the previous year numbers. Robert Dow, that sounds like a significant major increase to me, is it?
Good afternoon, Steve. Yes, it is. It's actually a 7.2%, I'll say again, 7.26 10% increase from financial year 17-18 quarter one through to financial year 18-19 quarter one. So that's really a good growth, and it's really a continuation of a trend that's been operating now for about 2 years following the introduction of the Fair Affairs Package. The zones were reduced from 23 to 8 and fares were made more affordable. And that certainly resulted in a trend of increasing patronage since the Fair Fare Package was introduced, Steve.
My guest is Robert Dow. He's from the group Rail Back on Track. It's a public transport advocacy group. They've been lobbying in this area for must be 10, 15 years now. Robert Dow in particular, when he was working at the university, kept hearing from university students that they couldn't make it into uni on time, and that's what got him involved in this. So Robert Dow, does this end the argument that cheaper fares equates to more patronage?
Oh, it certainly is a very strong indicator. It's not the only thing, though, Steve, that drives people onto public transport. The other important thing is the frequency of the service, be it bus, ferry, tram, or train. Frequency coupled with accessibility and affordability are really the three things that go hand in hand to get people onto public transport. We did see a good improvement in fare affordability, although if you look at the monthly TransLink performance snapshots, the KPI that is still of some concern is affordability. It's the one at the bottom, and it indicates to us and to the wider community that fares are still perceived as being a little bit unaffordable. So we still think there's some room to move in terms of reducing the cost of fares generally. But nonetheless, it was a good move in December 2016 to introduce that. And the data is very clear. It does show that there has been an increase in patronage since then. Now, we look...
Look, I'll interrupt there, because for many years, the public transport system of Brisbane has been underutilised. I mean, the traffic problems here are legendary around Australia. But the authorities refused, in fact, I think reversed, going back a few years, cheaper fares, didn't they? In other words, they tried to get more money out of people. And that had a direct response from stopping people using public transport. It now looks like they've admitted that they were wrong, and that now that lowering the fare has improved things.
Oh, certainly, Steve, yes. There was the five-year fare path from 2010 to 2015. Listeners may recall there were huge fare increases, 20, 40, 50%, depending on what sort of ticketing product they used to use. And that actually was very anti-public transport. It was realised that the high-cost fares were causing a problem with patronage. The Fare Review Task Force was set up by the government. I was actually a member of that Fare Review Task Force, and we came up with the new fare structure as implemented December 2016. So it's a very important part of the public transport package, if you like, fares and fare affordability. But as I said, it's not the only thing. We need to improve frequency, particularly as we move out of inner Brisbane. Inner Brisbane's not too bad in terms of frequency of all modes. But as you move out into the outer regions, bus and rail frequency is terrible. Now, that needs to be improved. We think there will be progressive improvements in the years to come, and I think we'll see this trend continuing of more and more people getting on public transport, because it makes sense. For the reasons that you outlined, they're all strong drivers for people to use public transport, and we're delighted that there is this progressive increase. Now, just for interest, I did look at it very closely.
Yep.
In terms of the various modes and how they've actually increased over the last year. Bus went up 7.3% in terms of patronage. Rail went up 4.2%. Light rail went up 33%. Now, the reason for that is that Stage 2 opened late 2017, if you recall.
This is the Gold Coast Light Rail Stage 2?
Yep, and that's driven patronage quite well. And light rail actually increased by a further 33% in the last year. So that's
Was that because of the Commonwealth Games, though?
No, Commonwealth Games data is not included in this, Steve.
Okay.
Yep, so that's a genuine increase. Ferry is the only mode that sort of went down slightly. It lost over that year period. It went down about 0.6%. We think some of the industrial issues and other factors like that had an influence on that.
All right. So this is a win for the state government, isn't it? The state government can legitimately be out there saying, okay, we lowered fares and got an immediate improvement in public transport use. So they can legitimately claim they finally got it right. So what should happen next, Robert Dow?
Okay. Now, we're having a new ticketing product introduced soon. I think TransLink needs to go out to the community, the travelling public, and ask them what sort of ticketing products they would like. At the moment, we just simply have a pay-as-you-go on the go card, but there should be a periodical option in the new ticketing system. We constantly get feedback from people who want a periodical ticket, like a monthly or a weekly or a yearly option on the smart card or the new go card system. Melbourne can manage this on their MyKey, for example. You can have a pay-as-you-go system, same as our go card, or you can get a periodical ticket from any period from a week through a year. And it can be very affordable if they introduce these periodical options on the smart card ticketing. So we'd like to see TransLink, government, go out and talk to people as to the type of ticketing products they would like on the new ticketing. That will make it even more affordable, and that will get more people on public transport, particularly weekends and out of peak, where we've got a lot of latent capacity, Steve, on our public transport.
My guess is Robert Dow from Rail Back on Track. So yet to be fixed is the outer rim sort of public transport services.
Yes.
And these are the buses that go out to the sort of the suburbs on the rim of Brisbane City.
Yeah, and also out in areas like Ipswich and Logan. And
yep. Major population centres.
Exactly. Another problem we have is the problem between rail and bus connections. Often the train's running late, the bus takes off and people arrive at the station to see their bus departing.
Yep. Yes,
extremely
okay.
Frustrating.
All right, now, final, before I let you go, so this is a win for the state government, and they can claim legitimately so that they did it, and you're saying keep doing it and then prove connectivity, ticketing, and out-of-rim services. One quick question, why did the number of people using the ferries, these beautiful, attractive, glorious ways to go to work, why did they drop off?
Yeah, very good question. We think that part of it may have been due to industrial problems. Remember, they had a few periods of industrial action where they weren't running?
They were threatening one last Friday, but they decided against it.
But this was in the previous year,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
There was some industrial action. That would have had a slight impact. I can't recall any weather conditions. Weather can actually interfere with the ferry significantly at times. We didn't have high river levels, or we didn't have too much fog. We had a couple of days of fog. But I think it's just one of those things that's sort of fluctuating a little bit. I'm fairly confident that ferry will come back. The City Cats are a fantastic way to travel around inner Brisbane, of course,
mm-hmm.
and visitors to Brisbane, that's where they should go first.
Have you sent Main Roads Minister Mark Bailey a little congratulations note?
Yes, we did. We put out a media statement highlighting our analysis and actually giving him a well done in terms of the introduction of the fair affairs package, and the fact that we have seen a constant increase in public transport patronage. But having said that, we still made the point that we still need to have improvement in our bus network, and the rail timetable, the restoration needs to occur in the not-too-distant future. Once that happens, we think we will see sustained future growth on our public transport network. Steve?
Let me read you this brief message before I let you go, Robert Dow. That's from Sarah. I live at Wavell Heights and I work at South Brisbane. I take two buses and a train one way, generally taking 1 hour and 20 minutes door to door. It's cheaper than running my car and paying for parking, but it's long and tedious, and it turns an 8-hour workday into a 10-hour plus day. However, I push through, grateful that I'm not stressed by bad drivers and roadworks. I arrive at work calm, having read my book or chatted to friends, and I've been environmentally friendly. Sarah, thanks very much. This is a big issue, though, in this city, isn't it? The sort of the cross-city connections of bus and train exactly. Hasn't been resolved properly yet.
No. Brisbane Metro will actually force some bus network reform, where we expect to see much better cross-suburban connectors as a result, because a lot more buses will be freed up and they'll be able to do a lot more suburb-to-suburb run. And people will be able to get around a lot more easily.
Okay.
At the moment, our public transport is said to be very radially focused. It's lined straight into the city, not across.
Robert Dow, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
Robert Dow from the Rail Lobby Group, Rail Back on Track. The evidence is very clear. If you lower the fares for public transport, more people will use them.
Claire Hooper.